Psalm 51:1, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions.
Praise the Lord.
Maybe see it. Thank you, Kane. And that's why, as evil as what has happened in Israel in the last 36 hours, as strong as that darkness is in the world and all the other atrocities happening around the world, it's not stronger than His light and His love. And so no matter how dark things get, God's light will overcome it. And the beautiful fact of His mercy, and for us as those who have been redeemed, His mercy is new every morning. Do you realize the Bible says that? It's not just a one-time giving of mercy. It's new every morning. So even as believers, we might really mess up. There might be a day where we fall completely short of being a believer in Jesus Christ. But we can go to bed that night, fall asleep, knowing that when we ask, God is faithful to forgive. And the mercies will be there for the next day for us to get back up. God is truly amazing. God is truly amazing. Even in the darkest of times, we have something to praise and worship and joy. Now, as Team Jesus, we are trying to develop this understanding as the church to be the team. As faithful, many of us have grown up in sports, playing on teams, and we're always there to do our part, and the same concept has to be applied to the church. This concept of just attending church or church is a social thing needs to be gone from our minds. This is not what the church is. The church is a team. The only team on the face of the planet called to bring the truth to people. There are many teams out there playing, bringing false gospels, working for the enemy, but there's only one team, Jesus, that is faithful, the faithful church. And there are many around the world, but they're fewer than they used to be. And many people are looking to church to be a social event or something to serve them, and it's not. We are to ask God where He wants us to go to church and what He wants us to do in that church, because He's given us spiritual gifts to be used inside the church. There's this whole concept of changing our mind as Team Jesus. And as Team Jesus, we need to know who we play for and why we play for Him. And we need to be able to share that with people. We need to be disciples, not just Christians. And that's why we're doing this series, Discipleship, Disciple Following Jesus' Call. And we're in the section of it being ready to give a reason. We get this from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. So when someone says, why are you a follower of Christ? Why are you a Christian? Why are you a follower of Christ? Well, because of Christ. Because of Jesus Himself. Be able to talk about Jesus, who He is. We're going to get to all that and share the gospel and answer the tough questions. And right now we're in one of the questions where a lot of people are today, especially younger people. Does God even exist? Does God exist? This is the question. In the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at this question, and we've started giving five reasons for the existence of God. And the first one was we called invisible forces. Because a lot of people say, I just can't believe in anything I can't see. I can see this, I can see that, I'll believe in it, but I can't see a God. And the Bible does say that God is spirit. He's invisible to our physical eyes. But it doesn't mean He's not there. We can believe in things that we cannot physically see if we see the effect of that invisible force. And that's why we look at gravity. You can't see gravity, but you can see the effects of gravity. Atoms, you can't see atoms, but we know they're there. We see the effect of them. And it's just like, you can also go with the love. Can't see love, can you? Is it real? Oh, yeah. We can see the effects of it. We can't see it. When we look out into the law or in the universe, we see the law and order of the universe. We've talked about how mathematically precise the universe is. And that what we see could not have come from an explosion of nothing. The universe is governed by mathematically precise laws. We see design, we see order, we see intelligence. Another aspect that we looked at was search for an artist. When you look out into all creation, you look out into the universe, it's obvious there was a great designer, a great artist making what we see. And the Bible supports this line of reasoning with Psalms 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. The creation, just simply looking at it, shows us beautiful artistry, design. We look at the science behind creation and the universe. We see the great intelligence and order, and it speaks to us. And just like we understand science, the different laws, and one of them being cause and effect. If something is in existence, it had a cause. It just didn't happen from nothing, with no purpose, no meaning, no power behind it. It's the opposite of what we see when we look into the universe and we look into creation. It declares to us how glorious God is in His creation. Then we look at search for design. Is there design behind what we see? And we can look at this picture of the Mount Rushmore and understand clearly that this didn't happen through a long period of time and wind and water erosion. And you see the design. It's obvious. There's no reason to argue otherwise. And even the atheists you'll see today say that there's design in everything we see. And if there's design, then there's a designer. There's so much we could look at. Whoops. There's so much we can look at out in the universe. But what we're going to look at is life. Search for design within life. Have you ever been watching a video on public broadcasting or some non-religious source, and they're talking about evolution, or you may be in school and they talk about different creatures evolving and how they're designed certain ways? Have you guys ever noticed that? Design, that word design is used in almost every evolutionary video I've seen. Talking about creatures being designed. It's like, wait a minute. If evolution happened, there is no designer, so how could it design? Because evolution, by its very nature, is non-intelligent, without purpose. We'll get to that too. But you see, atheists downplay life. And when we get to the evolution section of this series, I will show you how they downplay life, especially to the younger people. They don't want kids and teenagers understanding the miracle of life. Because one, it'll change their attitude and towards their being a creator. It'll also change their attitude towards abortion, human rights. They really want to downplay how amazing life is. Because when you look at life, even at its most simplest form, you see design, you see amazing design. It's complicated beyond complicated. It's not simple at all, but that's what they want people to believe. Life is truly a miracle. When we look at, and we started looking at last week, the DNA in a cell. And DNA, as we learned last week, is described as a book. It's the book of you. You're made up of trillions of cells. And inside each one of those cells is 3 feet of DNA. When you put all that together, it creates this amazing book that the atheists call the book of you. And it's a book of, does anybody remember how many pages long your book is? 600,000 pages. How would you like to sit down and read that? 3.2 billion letters take 100 years to write. That DNA is what we're going to see as God's signature on you. Just like an artist will sign their painting, God has signed you. And that DNA points right to it. The Bible says this in Psalms 139. Your eyes, talking about God's eyes, saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me. Oh God, how great is the sum of them. Well, the thoughts of God started with a 600-page book. And that's just the beginning of you. He had so many more thoughts towards you. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. Then I awake, I am still with you. Do you understand that God cannot lie? You do understand that, right? And God does not exaggerate. And yes, sometimes the Word uses, you know, symbolism. But here it's saying, listen, God has thought about you so many times. You can't number them. Maybe no one else in the world really sees you or cares about you. God does. God does. He sees everything you're going through. We trust Him. If you will trust Him, He will see you through. There is nothing you're going to deal with in this life that He will not get you through. He's put a lot of thought into your life. Next slide, Levi. You know what this DNA does? It's kind of like a chicken and the egg thing. The old, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Who knows? The chicken, of course. Christians have always known that. God created a mature creation. Adam and Eve, boom, chicken. And the chicken had an egg. But it's amazing how the world tried to, what came first, the chicken or egg? Well, here you got the same problem. What came first, the first replicating cell or the DNA? You see, the cell needs the DNA. It's the instruction book for the cell to create what it needs to create. And you see, it'll take the instructions from the cell, align the amino acids up in a sequence of about 100 different, you know, 20 different types of amino acids and 100 link section, right there, boom, 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 boom. It's like the alphabet, you know, you got to arrange the code a certain way, you got to arrange the amino acids in a certain way, about 100 of them, so it collapses and forms a protein, and you need, or, you know, sometimes up to 600 proteins, different kinds, for the cell to operate, to live, to survive. So evolution, they say, somehow, we'll get there, I'll show you, it's crazy. Somehow the first replicating cell came to be. But if all life started with the first replicating cell, which I got no problem with that, where'd the DNA come from? Intelligent digital code. Which came first, the cell or the DNA? You know, all animals and all plants have DNA. It's truly incredible. You know, how many of you guys watch NCIS or whatever, you know, TV shows? How much does DNA play a role nowadays, even in Hollywood? Well, in real life, DNA has changed everything that now that we've discovered it and are finding more and more about it, because it's such an incredible code. It's in such intelligent data, we can use it to solve crimes. And not just solve crimes, but find out what people look like without ever seeing them. Watch this. Go up. Blake.
For decades, DNA has been used in criminal justice to identify suspects or clear people who've been falsely accused. Now, a type of technology called DNA phenotyping could take crime scene analysis to another level. In DNA profiling, which investigators have used for years, they try to match DNA from a crime scene to records they already have in their system. With the new technology, genetic information doesn't need to be matched or compared. It uses the DNA on its own to predict what someone could look like. The process isn't cheap, and there are privacy concerns about it. If you're listed in Ancestry.com, for instance, your relationship to a suspect could be discovered. But this is changing the way some investigations are carried out.
The technology is called DNA phenotyping, developed by Parabon Nanolabs. From just a small sample of DNA, they can create a composite image of what someone could look like.
What kind of impact do you think that this technology will have on forensics long term?
Here we have another avenue we can explore if we run into dead ends along the way.
We're essentially bringing in entirely new ways to analyze forensic DNA. Traditional forensic DNA analysis looks just at, can this DNA from a crime scene be matched to a suspect we've already identified or to a database? But if you don't find a match, it couldn't tell you anything else. We can generate leads just from the DNA that's at that crime scene.
Parabon started to offer forensic services to law enforcement in 2015. Since then, they've assisted in over 40 cases.
A lot of the cases we work, it turns out that they had some information that was leading them in a particular direction, and our information completely redirects. You're not looking for a person of that description, you're looking for a person of this very different description, and once they pivot and start going down that road, they can find that person.
Our DNA carries a specific instruction set for an individual's physical characteristics. With only a small sample, Parabon can pull from tens of thousands of genetic variants to predict what a person looks like.
So basically, we're predicting where the face falls on different facial dimensions in what we call face space. And so this all just comes out of some math that we do on face data. And as the numbers change, it's showing different possible
wow.
faces. So there's a wide variety of possible faces that could be predicted.
That looks like you.
That is me. This may not be my driver's license image, but if I were...
It's pretty close.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The service costs about $3,000. But the results can mean authorities spend less time and manpower to solve a case. The composites do have limitations, though. For instance, DNA doesn't reveal a person's age. So to compensate, Parabon estimates what the person would look like at present day based on how long ago the crime was committed. And it is simply a guide. The phenotype alone cannot lead to a conviction.
It's the kind of stuff from a sci-fi movie. You know what I mean?
The phenotyping is definitely very sci-fi.
Are there any privacy concerns, or what are the moral implications of all of this?
Well, with DNA phenotyping, we're only predicting things that the person makes public every day when they go outside, their eye color, their hair color. We're not looking at any medical information or anything like that. And then with genetic genealogy, all the research that we do is public information.
Along with phenotyping, genetic genealogy is being used as another tool Parabon and law enforcement agencies are using to catch criminals and close cold cases. By searching a public database of DNA, genealogists can work backwards in a family tree, narrowing the search for a suspect.
Going forward, the number of cold cases will decrease, and also active cases can potentially be solved more quickly.
Before they even become cold cases.
Exactly. Cases won't have to go cold.
Out of 8 billion people on the planet, they can take DNA and they can track it through your genealogy and find you. Think about that. The book of you was not mass produced. God didn't just copy it over in a bunch of people. Yours is designed specifically for you. And they can track you and find you. It's truly amazing. Cold case files. This was like two weeks ago. I was Saturday night. And I was just, and I saw a cold case and I started watching some of the episodes. And these were really cold cases, 40 years old, 50 years old, unsolved. And they were pulling out the evidence and testing it for the DNA and for tracing through family trees. And there was a case that was like 52 years old, a murder of a child, and they found the person. After 52 years, the DNA was still there on her clothing. Click one time, Levi. Does anybody know who that is? Nobody knows who that is? Wow. That's the Golden State Killer. Terrorized California. Murdered lots of people. Raped lots of women. You know how they finally found him? DNA. Tracing it through the family. This was just a couple years back. You know what Bill Gates said about DNA? DNA is like a computer program, but far, far more advanced than any software we have ever created. DNA. Now, I don't, care for Bill Gates, but God knows he's smart and he knows computers. And so what DNA is greater than anything we've ever seen. Anything we've ever created. So how can Dawkins and those who just say that there is no God believe in what they believe? Because Dawkins said in his book, The Blind Watchmaker, that all organisms, life, have descended from common ancestors solely through an unguided, unintelligent, without purpose, purposeless material processes. How does that create DNA? It doesn't. And he says, goes on, natural selection acting on random variations, mutations, this is evolution, that the mechanisms of natural selection, random variation, and mutation, perhaps other similar naturalistic mechanism, naturalistic meaning there is no God, no supernatural, naturalistic mechanisms are completely sufficient to account for the appearance of design. You see, he's admitting there's design in what we see. And the evidence supports it, DNA. But they don't want there to be a God. So they'll believe in anything but a God. They'll come up with any reason to explain DNA. And evolution through naturalistic processes does not, cannot explain DNA. Because it's a code that we've never seen before. Go to the next slide. Levi, you know a book is a code, right? A book has a code in it, right? Called the alphabet. Letters that are arranged in a certain way. And if you have intelligence, you can arrange those letters in a certain way that you can put the letters together and you can form sentences and paragraphs and you can share information through the code. But it takes someone who knows the code, the alphabet, and have some intelligence to put it into the right sequence. Same with a computer. All computers are dealing based on code, and it's arranging the code in the proper way for the computer to read its instructions and do what you want it to do. And then it spits out information to you. But again, it needed a designer, a computer programmer. A book needed an author. A computer needed a programmer. But when we look at the cell that holds 3 foot of the most sophisticated code ever designed, ever known to humanity, it's called an entire book, the Book of Life. They say there's no designer. Does that make any sense? No. And they know this is a problem for them. They know there's intelligence behind DNA. So how can they explain this away without there being a God? Simple. Aliens did it. You think I'm joking? Listen to this.
Am I using the word who?
Well, how did it get created?
Well, by a very slow process.
Well, how did it start?
Nobody knows how it got started. We know the kind of event that it must have been. We know the sort of event that must have happened for the origin of life.
And what was that?
It was the origin of the first self-replicating molecule.
Right. How did that happen?
I told you we don't know.
So you have no idea how it started?
No, nor have anybody.
Nor has anyone else. What do you think is the possibility that intelligent design might turn out to be the answer to some issues in genetics?
All right, listen to what he said.
In evolution.
It could come about in the following way. It could be that at some earlier time, somewhere in the universe, a civilization evolved by probably some kind of Darwinian means to a very, very high level of technology and designed a form of life that they seeded onto perhaps this planet. Now, that is a possibility and an intriguing possibility. Mm. And I suppose it's possible that you might find evidence for that if you look at the details of biochemistry, molecular biology, you might find a signature of some sort of designer.
Wait a second. Richard Dawkins thought intelligent design might be a legitimate pursuit?
So if you look at, and he danced around it, basically he's talking about the cells and the DNA. He says you might find a signature of a designer, but it's aliens. This is supposed to be one of the most brilliant people on the planet. It's kicking the can down, we say down the road, but this is kicking the can down the universe. You see, they're trying to say that we evolved through natural processes. But now we've found DNA, which is destroying evolution, and so we got to have some sort of intelligence part of this evolutionary process. So now aliens designed a seeded life on this planet, and we find their signature there in the DNA. But they too, he said, must have evolved on their planet. So let's go to their planet. How'd they get there? Oh! Another civilization seeded life there. All right, let's go with this. You see how you're kicking the can down the road? You're not explaining how life came to be. And I'm saying, God, it's obvious. There's a signature. The Bible tells us in Romans 1:18-23, for the wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. God didn't create us, aliens did. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them. You see, we're special in the creation. We're made in the image of God. We're moral beings. But there's also this aspect manifest in them. The evidence is produced in us. DNA. DNA says that there's a God. There's a designer. For God has shown it to them, for since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. That's you and me. You and I. Say it properly. So that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. And their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And that man is a fool. And I don't mean that in a mean way. He's just saying he'd rather believe in aliens. That's intriguing. That's exciting. Than knowing that there's a God that created you and has so much love for you. He put 600,000 pages of thought into you. And He's powerful enough to create the universe and order it and design it and artistic. And he's saying, you can know me. You can spend all eternity with me. God's signature upon us. All right, we're almost done here for the day. Let me show you this next picture. Does anybody know who this is? Huh? Stephen Hawking. Very brilliant mind. Maybe too brilliant for his own good, because he was also one of these that became a fool. I forget what disease he had, but it took his mobility and his ability to speak away. So, to replace his vocal box, a very sophisticated device was designed to help him speak. And a very sophisticated chair was designed to replace his body that would not work anymore. What's so unique about this? Next slide, Levi. that these machines were designed and they had to have intelligence behind them and had to have someone that really knew what they were doing design these machines, these devices to replace his own. And these devices weren't as good as the original equipment, his original body when it worked. But amazing, what gave him the ability to speak and to have some maneuverability in life had to have a designer, but the original didn't. That doesn't make any sense. So you look at this poor man, next slide, Levi. He went to his bed, trying to come up with every way to disprove the existence of God. And everything about him and around him testified to him that there was a God. You know, they're trying to copy humanity. They're trying to recreate humanity. Go to the next play. Have you guys seen these videos of these robots?
Hi, Sophia. How are you?
Hi there. Everything is going extremely well.
Do you like talking with me?
Yes. Talking to people is my primary function.
This is like, I think, several years old now. How much engineering goes into creating this robot that looks similar to us? Tons! How much intelligence? I mean, I gotta give them. That's incredible that they can design it like that. And AI now is giving them. I watched one last night from an AI robot. It was spooky. Do you know that what is genius level is 160 or above, right? Einstein was 160. Do you know AI right now is sitting at, they say, 155? Started out at 25. They're saying within a short period of time, a couple years, at the increasing, it's going to get to 3,000, which means smarter than any human, way smarter. But these robots, go to the next slide. These robots, that's a robot running. And it's going to do this really amazing thing that I've never seen a child do. Jump over a log. But that's still incredible. But the design, like I said, does it even come close to a real human being? Do these robots? No, they're not as flexible and maneuverability as the machine God created. But they're still impressive. But even these less impressive machines in the human body required a ton of money, ton of intelligence, a ton of design and engineering. Thought had to go into designing these robots. But the real thing didn't take any of that? Does that make any sense? No. Last one. Go to the last one, Levi. Turn this one up.
Actually, a real thing. And I'm not sure if it's the coolest thing I've ever seen or if it's one of the scariest things I've ever seen. This is the Atlas robot by Boston Dynamics. Almost 30 years in the making, and this is the test bed for future military robotics. I mean, the child inside me is like, wow, that is so cool. But the other part of me is thinking, is this Judgment Day in the making? What do you guys think about these?
You put a gun in that hand, and what do you got? Terminator, right? $30 years to create that. Millions of dollars. Great intelligence. Design and purpose. No one would argue that robot. Oh, that robot doesn't have a designer. That's just stupid. No one would argue that. Oh, no one, you know, no intelligence behind that. That would be stupid. No one would argue that. But when it comes to the real thing, there's no designer. And if there is a designer, it's aliens. You know? So, I am baffled when I look at this. How can anyone say that life forms, especially humans, are not intelligently designed? But they do. How can anyone think that an unguided and non-intelligent process like evolution created human beings? Wait till we get to the evolution segment. It's one of my favorite segments to teach on. You've been lied to so much. The public has been lied to. The science is not on the side of evolution. I love science. Science is awesome. Science, remember, is based on God's laws. It's good. But there's bad science out there. Oh, yeah. So the question is, when we look for the search for design, is there a design behind what we see? A big yes. But I will show you how they downplay. I showed you just a little bit. They're dismissing the design and maybe aliens. I'll just show you how grossly they did to our children. They don't want the children to know how amazingly they're designed. They don't want children to know that a God has written a 600,000-page book about them. They don't want them to know God. It's disgusting. That'll be in the evolution section. All right, so we got four of the five reasons down. I got the last reason for next week. I thought I might be able to get through it, but didn't. Just let them see what the next one is. It's evil. Does evil prove that there's a God? Doesn't it disprove God? Well, we'll answer that question next week. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we thank you for this, letting us come here today. Let us see and start to see the great design that you put into all humanity, into all life. How beautiful you created this universe. And how beautiful you created the world. But the world has fallen into great evil, great suffering. Can we explain that? Can we reason our way that you still exist even if there's evil in the world? Well, we will do that next week by your grace. But Lord, we don't want to say thank you today for just giving us insight into how much you think about us, how much you care about us, that you designed us. So Lord, I ask you to help us go out here today. Take on this week as Team Jesus and understanding that our Heavenly Father, your thoughts to us cannot be numbered. And we can take comfort in that. We can take joy in that. Let us think about you as much. Let us honor you this week. Let us be your church. Let us be disciples. And let us be salt and light. And all God's people said, amen. Why don't we go ahead and stand up? We'll break out of here. Go to Team Jesus. Thought you were going to sneak out early there, Zoe? I don't think so. Get back in the pew. Wow. On the count of three, let's break out of here with some motivation like we're ready for the world. We're ready to be Team Jesus. God might just use us this week. One, two, three. Let's go.